Alright. Good morning, everyone. And greetings to those who are listening in from around the world on this first day of the Feast of Tabernacles. I'd like to begin with a cute story I came across a while ago. A little boy came up to his mother one day, and she was cooking in the kitchen. And he handed her a piece of paper that he'd been writing on. So his mom dried her hands, and she took off her apron, she read it, and this is what it said. For cutting grass, $5. For cleaning up my room, $1. For going to the store for you, 50 cents. For babysitting my brother, 25 cents. For taking out the garbage, $1. For getting a good report card, $5. For cleaning up and raking the yard, $2. Total owed, $14.75. Well, I tell you, his mother looked at him standing there, and she picked up a pen, she turned over that piece of paper, and then she started writing. She wrote, "For 9 months, I carried you inside me, no charge. For all the trying times and all the tears that you've caused through the years, no charge. For the nights I sat up with you while you were sick, no charge. For the toys, food, clothes, and even wiping your nose, no charge, son. When you add it all up, the full cost of real love is no charge." Well, after the little boy finished reading what his mother had written, there were great big tears in his eyes, and he looked straight up at her. He said, "Mom, I sure do love you." And then he took the pen and in great big letters wrote, "Paid in full." God is our spiritual parent, and like the mother in the story, he could easily make an exhaustive list of all the things that he's done for us at no charge because he loves us. We're the ones who owe him for giving us life and for providing for us all our daily needs, both physical and spiritual. But as God gives, he also expects the same from us. Now, there's more to it than the mere act of giving. If it were that simple, anyone could buy their way into the kingdom, and we all know that isn't true. And certainly, giving is what we must do, but what cannot be overlooked is the principle behind it, how God wants us to give. Now, before we go into that, let's first turn to the much familiar Deuteronomy 16:16. And this scripture is referenced every single holy day. Anything being brought up over and over again in such a repetitive nature must be vitally important to God. It's a constant reminder of what we are commanded to do on these days. We read in verses 16 through 17, "Three times in a year shall all your males appear before the Lord your God in the place which he shall choose, in the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and in the Feast of Weeks, and in the Feast of Tabernacles. And they shall not appear before the Lord empty. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you." Now, why does God command us to give to him? He doesn't need our money. He's the creator of all. He owns everything. So why is it important to God for us to give back to him? God doesn't do anything without a reason. This command is a lesson. It's a way to teach us to give. However, the lesson doesn't end as soon as we drop the envelope into the basket. We're expected to apply the principle of giving in our daily lives, and what better opportunity to do this than at the Feast of Tabernacles? The feast is supposed to be a taste of things to come, but that can only be made possible if all of us come here with the mindset to serve. So much must go into making each and every Feast of Tabernacles the best feast ever. It's both the big things, like the messages that are given every day, providing special music, setting up and running the sound system so that way we have a recording of all the messages and those that can't be here can listen in. And it's the smaller things like opening a door for someone, helping someone carry their belongings, cleaning up after activities, or even giving a smile and a hug. It's all service. Everyone has something to offer. It doesn't matter how young or how old or how much second tithe you have. In a time where we're all scattered and have very little face-to-face interaction with those of like mind, being able to gather together in fellowship might just be the most precious gift we could give to each other. Now, going back to Deuteronomy 16, are we judged by how much we do in fact give as an offering? In verse 17, we read, every man shall give as he is able. We're not asked to give our entire life savings, only according to the blessing of the Lord your God, which he has given you. The NIV translates as in proportion to the blessing. If God has blessed us greatly, then our offering should reflect that. This isn't limited to just financial blessings. It could be any number of physical or spiritual blessings that God's given us. So how much is it important? There's something else that God is looking for, and it's brought to light when we do give. It's our attitude. Please turn with me to Mark chapter 12. It's a story we're all very familiar with. Here, Christ gives us an example of how we should give. We'll begin in verse 41, Mark 12. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury. And many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in 2 mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto him his disciples and said to them, verily I say to you, that this poor widow has cast more in than all they which have cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Now notice at the very beginning, Christ observed how the people cast money. Christ wanted to point out the difference in attitude between how the widow gave compared to everyone else. It says the rich gave much, but the widow only gave 2 mites. If it was only about how much was given, then the story would have ended after the first verse. How could she have cast in more than everyone when she was only able to contribute very little? It was the way she did it. She of her wants. It was her desire to give everything. It came from her heart. Now, if she did it with hesitation or felt forced to do it, that wouldn't be the attitude Christ was looking for. Mr. Armstrong always talked about the two trees, the way of give and the way of get. It's the way we give. We can give but have a completely wrong attitude about it, a get attitude, giving with the expectation of getting something in return or giving for appearances. The little boy in the story at the beginning, he gave to his mom. He did things for his mom, but he did it with a get attitude. He wanted something in return for what he did. That's not God's way of giving. Final scripture, please turn to 2 Corinthians 9, verse 7. Here, God plainly states what he's looking for when we give. 2 Corinthians 9, 7. Every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. The widow's attitude reflects perfectly with this passage, as should ours. We shouldn't be reluctant to give or feel obligated because we're commanded to do it. Mr. Bowles often refers to the tick list. We can't tick off giving an offering as part of a list of things to do in order to qualify for the kingdom of God. It goes beyond the letter of the law. It's the spirit of the law. The Feast of Tabernacles is a foreshadowing of the millennium where God's way of life, the way of give, will be the only way. As his spiritually begotten children, we must strive to become like God, which includes the manner in which we give. We must give with the same kind of loving attitude that God has when he gives to us. Every year, I always ask myself, how can I make everyone else's feast better? If we all take that simple approach, this will indeed be the best feast ever. So, brethren, let us all give from the heart. Let us all be cheerful givers.